So welcome to Holy Spirit School. You got some things to take notes on, and I appreciate Tina making it from paper, because if you sit in your pews and you want to make notes, I encourage you to make notes. But then at the end of the Holy Spirit School, we're going to pray this prayer together at the end. So you don't have to memorize it. You don't have to do anything. You just at the end, I'll lead you with it, and it's there. So what's the purpose of this Holy Spirit School, Bridger, anyhow? Well, when we choose to follow Christ, we are Christ followers. We are born of the Spirit. Like I said, we don't get Him in pieces. We get Him all. The new birth, the Holy Spirit lives in us. As spiritual beings, we live in a tension between time and eternity. Time being earthly, here where we are, and eternity being our heavenly home. So, when we welcome the person of the Holy Spirit, without measure, no conditions, just come Holy Spirit, we will have the power of God. We need to live on earth as mature Christ followers, and we need the help and the investment of the Holy Spirit for eternity. That's the purpose of the Holy Spirit School. Now, I know learning new things, and hopefully the Holy Spirit is not new to you, but looking at some of the ways that organized religion has done over the years, we get doing things by rote, the Apostles' Creed or whatever. So learning new things, I understand, is often awkward and uncomfortable. But don't stop praying because it feels awkward. Prayer is one of the most important parts of the Holy Spirit being in us. He helps us to pray. So as you proceed and persist, you will gain a confidence. You will become more aware of the Lord and less self-conscious. Now, there's three things that I've mentioned that we're going to look at. And one of them is expectancy. Prayer is one of the components of cooperation with God. The second one is expectancy. And I've been around the church now, involved for over 30-some-odd years, especially since I got sober. And a few years before that, when I didn't have a clue what church was all about, I just went and I was getting something out of it. I didn't know what it was, but I was getting something out of it, so I kept on. And then the Lord tugged at my heartstring and said, I want you to serve me in a different way. And here I am, a lot. Now, we don't really have a high degree of expectancy that God will do anything. Most of us don't. In fact, we usually are surprised when it happens, that something happens. That's unfortunate, because we should expect a miracle at all times. Looking for the redemption of Jerusalem. That's what the disciples were looking for. Not everybody in the temple was looking for the Messiah. The temple was the center point of worship in the early days of the Christian faith. Well, Judaism and Christianity. So not everybody that was going to temple or going to church was looking for the Messiah. Some were just there because it was the place to be. It's like church, you know, really. A lot of times we go to church because it's really the place to be. We really want to be around those people that love the Lord and fellowship with them. So temple was that kind of thing. And there was no doubt that dozens of family presenting there were all sorts of people just mulling about. So why did they go to the temple anyhow? Well, this particular time they went to the temple to dedicate the babies, or we call it baptism, or some churches call it dedication. So that's why they went to the temple this particular day. And while they were there, all kinds of people just mulling around doing different things, because in the temple, it was sort of like the National Bank, and all of the things happened there in the temple. So, being there was a whole collection of people, there was also a group of people that was expecting the Messiah. And Anna spoke to them. Now, Oral Roberts, one part of his ministry on television ministry, and maybe even some of his healing revivals and everything, they always said something to this effect. expect the miracle. Something good is going to happen to you. There's a song that says that. So maybe later on sometime we can sing that song. It's a beautiful song. You've heard it? You know which one I'm talking about? It's not in the United Methodist hymnals, but it's in a lot of other hymnals. So I want us to be included in the group of people who are just not attending worship service or caught up in religious activities. I want us to be included in the group of people that are expecting God to do something. It's important to have an attitude of expectation. We're not just collectors and doing Bible trivia and all that, although that's a lot of fun. And we're not just the people who are caught under the responsibility and the relationship with religious behavior. We, as Christ followers, are a people of Almighty God here on earth. And we expect Him to move in our generation as He did in all the other generations before us. We want to cooperate with His Spirit. We want to welcome Him into our lives. My Bible says that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And He doesn't change. And we want to open our hearts and open our imaginations to expectation that God will work in our lives, and He does. And you might say, okay, preacher, I really don't understand that. You may say that, but I still have problems in my life, and welcome to the real world, so do I. You know, and the people of the Bible certainly did as well. I think sometimes we carry a mistaken idea that it's just enough to say that I believe in God and I believe in His power. To believe that doesn't mean that you never will have problems again. And I think back in my own life in 1986 when I got real serious about changing my life and so forth. And I had a very wonderful career in the automobile business. And so I thought, well, things will just get better. Well, about 3 weeks after I made that commitment, I got fired. So, it happens. But God had something much better in store for me, although at the time, I didn't know. But this Christianity stuff ain't where it's all cracked up to be. I thought my life was going to get, and it did get better. So anyhow, to believe doesn't necessarily mean that you'll never have trouble. And you'll never have problems, and you'll never have stresses, you'll never have disappointments, and you'll never have heartaches. Because every miracle story that you know in the Bible is a response to a hard place or a hard time. That's why they're there for us, to encourage us. Think about the Daniel. Remember old Daniel in the lion's den? You know, Daniel was favored into the king at that time because he was able to interpret dreams, and the king loved Daniel. He thought that they were the best and everything like that. But the people under the king were not happy with this Daniel guy to have such a close relationship with the king. So they devised a plan to get rid of him. They talked the king into making a law that says, when you pray, you only can pray to the king. You can't pray to no other god, and if you do, you'll be put to death. Well, the king signed on to that, but Daniel continued to pray, as we know the story in the Bible. And when they went to the king, and they said, you know that guy Daniel, the one that you like? He's breaking the law, king, and you said if he prays to anybody else besides you, you're going to put him to death. And he prayed to his god. The king looked at it and he said, okay. And he put him in the den with the lions. Now, I don't know if when he first got there or not, if he checked the teeth in the lions and see if they were sharp enough that he had to go through that his teeth were sharp. I don't know. Don't know. I wasn't there. But the whole scenario really and truly was unfair. You see, Dr. Luke, in emphasizing that's what's happening in Simeon's life. A life that resulted in the person of the Holy Spirit involved with him at the temple. If he wasn't trying to emphasize that, I think you can make a statement in a far more efficient way that there was a godly man named Simeon who went to the temple. But Dr. Luke, being who Dr. Luke is and how he writes, understood all that. So, it's not a trick question, but I'm going to ask you this. Who wrote the book of Acts? Dr. Luke. Dr. Luke wrote the book of Acts because he was an eyewitness to all this stuff that was going on. And the Gospel of Luke is also a way that Luke would, in his writings, was very consistent, and the emphasis was placed upon even through all the book of Luke, including the book of the Acts of the Apostles, was focusing on the personhood of the Holy Spirit and the power of God. As we mentioned a few weeks ago, God and the Holy Spirit and Jesus are synonymous. So watch what happens in Simeon's life. It says that he was there to watch. He was called to watch for the coming Messiah. That's what his whole mission was, to watch for the coming of the Messiah. Now, Simeon had a revelation by the Spirit of God that he was going to see the Messiah before he died. And where and what he was doing, we find Simeon that day in the temple. And I love that statement because Simeon had a revelation by the Spirit of God that he was going to see the Messiah before he died. And where do we find Simeon on the day that Jesus came to the temple to be circumcised, 8 days after, brought by his parents? There he was, in the temple. I want to share with you about Luke chapter 2 before we get back into too much of the others. And you can look it up, and I think I got it in your, no, maybe not, but it's Luke chapter 2, verses 25 through 32. And I'll kind of paraphrase a little bit for time's sake. Now there was a man in Jerusalem by the name of Simeon, who was righteous and devout. And he was waiting for the consolation of Israel. You know, sometimes we sing those hymns at Christmas time, the consolation. But, well, that's what he was called to do. He was moved by the Spirit, and he went to the temple courts because the parents were bringing children in for circumcision as the law of Moses required. Simeon took the child in his arms and he said, God, sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace. In other words, I can die now, Lord, thank you. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, for the revelation to the Gentiles and to the glory of your people, Israel. So we look at some of those verses and we think about Simeon, because each verse, there's a phrase that is repeated. Something was established by the life and the presence of the Holy Spirit. And Dr. Luke uses the literary part of reputation to draw attention to the person of the Holy Spirit in Simeon's life. So if we look at it for a moment, in verse 25, if you go and read it yourself, you'll see the Holy Spirit was upon him. Verse 26, it says something that has been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit. And he would see the Messiah before he died. But I wonder, how did he know that? How was it revealed to him by the Holy Spirit? Well, the next verse in verse 27 says that he went into the temple court the day and he was moved and prompted by the Holy Spirit. You see, unleashing the power of the Holy Spirit in our life is no different than what it was with Simeon. It has a great deal to do with the desire to see God move. So if you didn't care about that, if you're not interested in him, you can relax. It doesn't matter. But it's highly improbable that he would bother you, because God does not intrude where he's not invited. That's why we have to invite Christ into our lives if we want to be saved. God just won't push himself upon us. It's the same with the Holy Spirit. He only wants to be where he's invited. The Bible said that if we hunger and thirst after his righteousness, being God, that will be filled. The book of Hebrews says that God is the rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And we need his help. We need help from a physician, like you were talking about. We need help from the hospital people. We need help from the medical community. So if we need help from a doctor, what do? We call him up on the phone. We make an appointment. We drive to their office. We go for testing. And if they recommend us to go to another hospital, we go to that hospital. If they need to send you to another city, which they did in Judy's case, if it's serious enough to diagnose, you'll go to that city. You endure treatment, protocols that are difficult, life-threatening sometimes. Why? Because you need a positive outcome. So when it comes to the things of the Lord, we should have at least as much perseverance as we have with the medical community. We've been pretty casual about it, though, about things of God, and I think we've been disrespectful in some times, and Almighty God, Creator God, deserves our best. I regret. Back to Simeon. Now, I don't believe that the words he spoke were just some unique creation of the Holy Spirit, and I'll give you three passages to back that up. Simeon was a devout person, studied the Torah, understood the book, the whole Hebrew Bible, and he understood it. So he was expecting, and I'll give you a couple little clues. Isaiah chapter 2, or chapter 9, verse 2. It said, those who walk in darkness will see a great light. Those who live in a dark land, that light will shine upon them. Isaiah 49, 6. God speaking, I will also make you a light to the nations, so that my salvation may reach to the ends of the earth. Isaiah 51, 4. Pay attention to me, God saying, oh, my people, and give me your ear. Oh, my nation, for a law will go forth from me, and I will set my justice for a light for the people. Wow. So Simeon knew about all this stuff. He knew what to expect. So what Simeon's doing is reciting the ideas that the prophets had given to him about the Messiah. It's interesting in the whole book of the Bible, the book of all the different prophets and all the things that we love to read and we like to call upon their promises. And that's what Simeon was doing. And he felt called by God to be the one, the watchman, if you would, to watch for the Messiah when the Messiah would appear on earth. They've been looking for the Messiah for a long time. God's word. Simeon knew the prophets well enough that when he had that revelation of who the child was, he knew what the child was going to do, the child being Jesus. When they presented Jesus and Simeon and Anna, of course Anna was there and she understood what was going on, but when Simeon held that baby in his arms, that's what he said, Lord, I have seen the Messiah, I have seen your salvation, and now I can die. It's amazing. It was a confirmation to the people of that day that Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Messiah, was absolutely here on earth. So, my invitation to all of us is this. Spend time in the Word of God so that God's character can begin to emerge in your heart. And be aware of what God is doing so that when He reveals to you a God moment. I like that program. I don't know why. I don't see many of it on there anymore. Remember God Wink? I think it was Hallmark, wasn't it, that did the God Wink series. You know? So be aware of a God Winks or that special moment in your life when He reveals to you a God moment. You know His perspective on that place, and it's very difficult to argue about your care, or even about God, if you've never read the book. There's more in there than I can handle. Let me tell you about the book. I've been studying another thing for another time in the book of Genesis. And We always talk about how Sarah laughed whenever the angel of the Lord, or she heard under the tent that God was going to let her have a son of 90 years old. What I have missed all these years, earlier on, when the angel of the Lord told Abraham that he was going to have a son, and Abraham laughed, and he said, wait a minute, I'm 100 years old, and Sarah is 90 years old. How's that going? Only think about Sarah laughing. Abraham laughed too. But it happened. So, I digress. Now, I'm not trying to add to your to-do list and say, well, you got to read the Bible, you got to get the upper room, you got to get our daily bread, and you got to do this, you got to do that. No. Just try it to let you know that in order to unleash the power of the Holy Spirit of God in your life, is you need to let him in. You need to study a little bit about him. What a privilege it is, and what an honor it is to know that God loved us so much. Not only did he send Jesus into this world for our salvation and take the sins of the world to the cross of Calvary and being crucified, that was an unfortunate thing, Jesus being crucified. It destroyed the disciples. Their hope was all gone. But on the third day, Jesus was raised from the dead, seen by many for 40 days. And, so it all turned out okay. And you think about old Lazarus, Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. But, if Lazarus had his druthers, I don't think that he would have wanted to die. I don't think he wanted to get sick or whatever they did, put a hit job on him or whatever. I don't think that was Lazarus' choice, to die and to be 3 days or 4 days in the tomb and all of that stuff. And all the family and friends are crying and weeping. And then Jesus comes on the scene, and his sister said, Jesus, if you would have come a little sooner, our brother wouldn't have had to die. I don't think it was Lazarus' choice to go to the grave and go to the tomb. But Jesus said, Lazarus, come forth. He was resurrected from the dead. But guess what? Lazarus eventually died. But at that point in time, he had a new perspective on life. And we do too when we accept Christ in our life. Well, be working with the gift of the Holy Spirit, because we all have it. It's just a different gift, and it's a gift, and there's a lot of gifts that come along with it. Some of them we want, some of them we don't, but all the gifts, all of them, are available to all of us. And how do you know about them gifts? Well, you study the Word of God, you pray, you come in cooperation with Him, and you will expect and get miracles in your life. So start with something simple. Something like this in your heart. Holy Spirit, you're welcome in my life, and I want to welcome you in my life, and I want to cooperate with you. Can you imagine having somebody like God to cooperate with? It's a pleasure, it's a joy, it's an honor to cooperate with the living God through Christ and the gift of His Holy Spirit. I think maybe that little prayer would resonate in our hearts, and when it does, it'll change everything.